Hello and welcome to Commander Central episode 30. Today we're going to be talking about the death of a deck. What happens when you decided your deck is no longer something you want to play? Do you take it apart entirely like Chris? Do you keep the shell of it in place for future use like Max? Or do you just flush the entire thing down the toilet like a goldfish at the top of the bowl like I do? Pro tip, take it out of the box before you flush it, because otherwise you'll have all kinds of problems. First, though, we'll check on the social media. We will see if there's anything new in the world of Magic, and we'll discuss some games we played. I'm Dana.
I'm Max.
And I'm Chris.
How's everyone doing this once again this Friday night?
That's a hat trick, three in a row.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
That's pretty impressive.
At least it's nice out. It was kind of crappy yesterday.
It's starting to feel like spring enough. I mean, it's March. It's not like when it's nice in February, and you're like, this is obviously not it.
It's a trick. Right. It's a trap.
Our nature's screwing with you. This actually feels like maybe.
Yeah. I have a feeling we're going to get snowed on again. I just have this, like,
sinking
feeling.
We absolutely will get snowed on at least once or twice more.
Yeah. That's what we get for living in Wisconsin, though.
Yes, indeed.
And then be miserable all summer because it's, like, 100
right.
degrees with humidity.
And humid. Right.
I love that. So
I'll take it over winter. I do not have tolerance for the cold anymore in my old age. It's just too much.
Oh. If it's, like, 20 degrees, I'm fine. Anything below 20, then I'm a little miserable.
Maybe if my snowblower works.
I'm an odd duck. I like the below zero and above 90s, so.
We actually had somebody on YouTube comment they would come fix my snowblower for me.
That's great.
I have to take him up on that offer.
Yeah.
So you two played in a tournament, Modern tournament last weekend. How did that wind up going? I know, Max, I remember you won your first game. You texted me that, but I don't think it went great after that.
I won my first game and proceeded the next four games to have terrible draws, and I wasn't feeling well on top of it, so I just scrubbed out after round three.
Yeah, and the guy that you beat took second place.
So you beat one of the best guys.
The only loss that he had in Swiss was to you, and then he lost in the finals.
Yeah.
I didn't do so hot.
You didn't do well either.
There were like nine burn decks, though, at that tournament.
Yeah, my deck just like crapped on me. He didn't want to give me the right draws and stuff.
That happens sometimes.
And then Ponza decided my like top eight match.
That's
made
been
top
resurgent
eight.
Heavily lately.
Oh, let me tell you, when they go Bloodbraid into Stone Rain, it's not a fun day. And then they attack you for three, and you're just like. So,
Chris, you said you had a story for us from the game show.
Yes,
here.
I do. So, last night, I made a bad investment.
Okay.
Whoa.
I went and bought seven packs of Stronghold from one of our local stores. Okay. Missed in every pack.
So, why did you decide to buy seven packs of Stronghold of all things?
Because there's Mox Diamond, there's Ensnaring Bridge, Sliver Queen, Valrath Stronghold,
sure.
All at rare.
Sure.
Can I ask what you paid per pack?
14 something. I talked him down to like $100 for seven packs.
That's not bad.
And you did whiffed on all seven.
Whiffed on all of them. So then I went to our other game store, and a buddy of mine came in, Jesse. You guys might know him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned to me that there's a brand new box of Modern Masters 15 up there. I'm like, okay, sure. So between four of us, we bought that box out.
Wow.
I hit a foil Elish Norn.
Oh, nice.
And that was it in the box. The entire box.
Oh, really?
Yep. So I was a little flustered right now. So
sure. Yeah, you're on
we're
tilt.
Like, let's start buy Modern Masters 17 now. So I bought my first pack, missed. Bought the second pack. I'm like, piss on this. I am fed up. Start shuffling it. For those of you who don't know, when you pull a pack, don't look at any of the cards, you shuffle it. It's a nice game called Flip It or Rip It.
Uh-oh.
So I flipped the first card, ripped the second, flipped it, ripped it. Flipped the next one, a foil Misty Rainforest went flying. And we stopped there. Nobody bought another pack after that.
Oh.
So, yeah. I'm like a legend now at the store because I played Flip It or Rip It with a foil Misty in a pack.
You could have ripped that.
I know. It was like right there, too.
Oh, that would have been tragic.
I'm crying on the inside.
I'm just trying to like get in the mindset of like, I'm going to go buy a bunch of Stronghold packs. That's a bold move on a Thursday night.
Because I went in to pick up a couple cards I needed for Legacy Dredge, and he didn't have anything I needed. And I look over, he had Stronghold packs. I'm like, okay. How many packs you got up there? He's like, seven of them. So I'm looking at it, and I did the math on it, and I'm like, well, I'll do 100 for all of them. He's like, done. So then I cracked him and missed on everything. I'm like, oh, no.
Like nothing at all useful?
No. Like, when I went down to our local one, D20, he tallied it up for me, and, like, to trade it into the store, I got a soda out of it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a miss.
Did you enjoy that soda?
Oh, I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yes, the best $100 soda you ever had.
Right?
Ouch.
But I made up for it with the Misty, so.
That definitely helps, for sure. How much is a Misty going for in foil?
Foil Misty, I think we looked at it was like 75 or 80 or something like that.
That for sure helps. All right. Well, how about games last week? Any games aside from Flip It or Rip It that Chris survived?
Every time I'd play that game, too, it's so risky.
Yeah.
Ricky screwed me over.
I should not have. You didn't do anything wrong.
No.
You didn't misplay anything, really. I just got lucky and just ran the board. Elements Archive saved me because it turned a Harmonize into draw six. And then when I was dropping, I dropped a couple one drops that drew me, you know, two cards each. And I can't remember, was it Finding Omnath that did it for me?
Yep, the mono green Omnath just let you ramp all your mana and you just swing away into the remaining two players.
Yep. So that, yeah, because you had that game on like on lock.
Yeah.
And that was basically my last hurrah because you had out a Windborne. No, it wasn't Windborne.
I had Dromoka with the Dousing Dagger and something else.
I was getting one shot next turn.
Yep.
Or whatever it was. I'd taken either commander damage or something, but I was dead next turn and I had no life gain in the deck. So I had to, I was like, okay, well, I got to do it right now. So, and I happened to get to enough damage.
It was a fun game. Very, very interactive for the most part.
I had a very memorable game too. I took out a Gave player and an Edric player with a mono red deck.
both with direct damage burn.
Yep. Playing a 1v1 mono red deck.
Yeah.
That's
and then
great.
Lost to Chainer because I couldn't get back from the life gain that Chainer had.
My screw up in that game was I had, and it was on that turn when you burned me, I had a force in hand and a counter spell, but I only had one blue mana free. And so I'm like, all right, well, if I have to save myself, I will pitch this. I'll pitch the counter spell to the force to stop whatever bad stuff is happening. But I also had a burgeoning out. So as we're going around, when it came around to the Chainer player's turn, he played a land. So then I dropped a Yavimaya Coast, which has blue mana.
Yep.
But I had already been like had it in my mindset that I have to pitch the counterspell to the Force of Will because I didn't have two blue mana. Because I didn't at that point in time, but I did when I after the burgeoning. But it never like it just didn't change that mental thinking. So he went and played whatever it was. His Chainer because he's going to use Chainer to bring back Massacre Worm.
Yep.
With all my weenies, it would have killed me. So I had to counter the Chainer with that Forest pitching the counterspell.
Even though
I didn't have to do. I could have counterspelled it. I guess actually it wouldn't have mattered, though, because I didn't have a second blue card for the Forest to stop you from killing me. That's why I had to pitch the counterspell, so it wouldn't have mattered.
Yep.
So never mind. But it was still dumb. I still should have just counterspelled it, and then I could have maybe bluffed.
Well, it was pretty much I had to kill you that turn.
Right.
Because you had... what was that? The Prowl sorcery on top of your deck that you searched for. So
I was going to take an extra turn and kill everybody the next turn. So, yeah.
I comboed out with Brago on turn 5 and scooped.
I wasn't in that game, but I heard it like two tables down.
When you alt Venzer on turn 5, you just pick up and say, keep going, guys. Good game.
How do they even let that happen?
I was playing two somewhat slow decks, and the key piece was I factor fictioned. Our friend Mike went to Cyclonic Rift Venzer, like a single target rift. And I'm like, okay, this is my only shot. I factor fiction. I hope there's a counterspell. Pact of Negation was in the 5. And I'm like, I'm going to make this easy for you. I'm going to take whatever pile the pact is in, and I'm pacting the the Cyclonic Rift. Right. And the other player was like, yeah, that's game. I'm like, you guys keep playing. I did it. I just wanted to do it.
Well, I did kind of the same thing. It wasn't a counterspell, but I won a Mina and Den game because I played Nissa Vital Force. And everyone forgot. Like, I played her, and everyone's like, oh, her ult is when you play a land, you draw a card, right? And I'm like, yep. All right. Well, but her ult, you can do two turns. Like you just roll her up once, then you can do it.
No one had an opportunity to come in and add her, though, neither. You had, like, three creatures to block.
I had to have bodies up. But, like, once I did that, it was over. Because I managed to drop... Was it 15 or 18 lands in a turn with an Avenger of Zendikar out? And that's just not good for anybody.
Yeah.
Because at one point, Chris is like,
as soon as you played,
how many,
what was it, Splendid Reclamation, I started scooping up and everyone else is counting. I'm like, guys, we're dead. I'm like, do you guys not see this?
So that was fun. That was probably the most single turn landfall triggers I've ever had before.
Yeah, because worst comes worst, you would have swung with Mina and Den too and gotten another landfall trigger off of the Sword of the Animist on it. So
yeah, it was the math wasn't great for anyone there. So but we had a bunch of good games. It was a good night.
Yeah, it was.
So all right, how about social media? What do we got this week, Chris?
All right. Well, let me scroll up here. My computer is being a little slow on me. We heard from a couple people. First person I want to mention is Jeremy J. Sutton from Maryland. You guys brought this up to me. He sent us some extremely positive feedback. I just wanted to shoot a huge thank you to him for everything about that. You know, helps pushing us forward and everything. So
yeah, that was a great comment on that was on Facebook.
Facebook, yep.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate that.
And then the other person, this is actually personally towards me. I heard from a Rage Quit, which is at Rage Quit Command on Twitter. Apparently, this is someone I know from my past that I don't know who it is at the same time. Apparently, I sold him some cards back in high school, and he got recommended to listen to us, or recommended to our site, and recognized me. So
that's so bizarre when like somebody you know in real life finds you on the internet talking about Magic.
Yeah, and I'm not quite sure who it is yet.
You're being catfished.
Oh no!
It's an elaborate scam.
That's okay. Well, if I'm on the Catfish TV show, I'll make sure to hold up my business card.
There we go.
Commander Central, come listen to us.
I want to do a quick shout out. We mentioned, I think it was last week's show, we were talking about some, I had seen somebody on Twitter, a conversation about some Vorthos stuff with Dominaria talking about characters coming back and that kind of thing. And I couldn't remember who it was or didn't credit it. Jay Anelli is the guy who had been having that conversation on Twitter. You can find him at J13X. And he's got a podcast at The Vorthos Cast, where they basically talk about Magic history and like stuff from lore. And it's like they're three episodes in, and it's fascinating so far.
Hmm.
So even if you're not that well-versed in Magic history and just want to listen to three people talk about, okay, here's what happened in the Ice Age block throughout the storyline, it's worth a listen. Those guys are really good.
It's so definitely something I probably look into because I don't know a bunch of the lore from back way back in the day. So
there's a bunch of neat stuff. Like one of the things they touched on was one of his theories is that the Raven Man that keeps popping up around Liliana is Limduel, the Necromancer.
Oh,
but he's got reasons. Like he's not just like saying, okay, Limduel is a cool lore character. Could that be the Raven Man? He's gone back and like found, okay, this reference here where Limduel uses magic shaped like ravens, and here's this part where when he was last seen, it was on Dominaria, and he like hid his soul in a piece of jewelry, which could be the Chain Veil very easily, which was on Shandalar, which Liliana got.
Wow, that would be awesome.
Yeah, so he's found all these links, and he does that for a ton of stuff. It's absolutely worth listening to.
I will definitely have to check that out.
Yeah.
What else do we have?
We have a new Patreon pledge. We want to say thank you to Zach Taylor for pledging to our Patreon.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And of course, you can find us on Patreon by searching CMDR Central.
Or you can find us online at cmdrcentral.com. YouTube search us, CMDR Central. Facebook search us, CMDR Central. Or find us on the old Twitter bird at CMDR Central. And that's where we're located.
And if you have any like requests for show ideas or just ideas in general, throw them our way. We're always glad to listen to suggestions for shows, for things to talk about, questions you have. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we just love talking about Magic in general. So.
We absolutely do. Speaking of talking about Magic, we got a chance last week to talk about Magic on a little video segment on the Command Zone of all places, which is insane.
Yeah. Jimmy and Josh reached out to us along with a bunch of other content creators. It's not just us. And we filmed a little segment for their 200th episode. So we recommend you go check out that show. They can be found on YouTube by searching the Command Zone. And just see
episode
all the
200. It should be the most. There might be one new one out by the time this posts, but it should be episode 200. It's easy to find. There's a ton of content creators on there saying congratulations and talking about their experience with EDH over the years. It's super cool, and it was really like surreal to be part of that.
It was. Yeah, so. When you guys watch it and when you see us, you get to see Dana insult me about my Sliver deck. So.
Yep.
All right. So, any news this week?
Yes, unfortunately, this might be good and bad. The release notes for Dominaria got spoiled the other night.
So we're not going to talk about specific cards here, but we are going to talk about the set for a few minutes. So if you don't want to have any spoilers at all, skip ahead a couple minutes. But we're not going to go into great detail because we're going to eventually do a show on it. So First of all, based on, so beginning now, pop ahead.
Fast forward.
Right. Professional sound effects we have here at Commander Central. So I was like crazy blown away about how good this looked.
I thought it was fake at first.
That was my first thought. There's no way there's this much cool stuff in a standard set.
Right. But then when you realize that the source was the Magic's website.
Right, right.
Yep.
Like it,
well, so for those that don't know, what happened was, and this wasn't like someone stealing something. This was inadvertently Wizards sent out this note file to whoever it was in China they sent it to, instead of, I think, the Master's notes. So basically notes on cards that have like errata or cards that would have rules issues, but it's therefore spoils like half the cards in the set.
Yep.
So I sent out the Chinese one, and then immediately that was on Reddit and being translated. And then because that happened, they're like, well, this is out there. We might as well give you the real version so there's no confusion.
Mm-hmm.
So then they released the official version of these notes.
Which, good on Wizards. I mean,
absolutely.
Why don't ignore the problem? Just right. Say, you know what? Something happened. Here you go.
Absolutely.
Here's your first look at it.
We made a boo-boo.
And they're still going to do like a normal rollout because none of the art's been released and there's supposedly quite a few cool things that still aren't out there.
Mm-hmm.
But even like if this was it, if there's nothing else good in this set, it's the best set I've seen in
a long time.
Years. Maybe that's
since Origins.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's early hype because it's been like a day, but there's like 30 legends so far. Maybe I'm over guessing, but
I suppose we're going into spoilers again, so fast forward if you're listening
right,
still.
Right.
But are we talking legendary creatures or just legendary things in general?
Like legendary things in general.
But there's a lot of them that are creatures.
Yes.
I mean, there's at least 20 creatures. There's legendary sorceries. There's legendary artifacts, enchantments.
It's legends for the modern era.
Well, legends, right, exactly. But it's good.
It's awesome.
That was the one thing that really caught my attention when I was reading through all of them. There's no Anya, Mercos, Archangels in here where it feels like they just threw like three abilities on a card and like,
yep.
Not good enough. They all feel like really interesting cards, particularly the lore characters. Teferi is a Teferi card. Joyra is a Joyra card. They feel like those characters, and even the characters whose names I don't know, who I think are probably new, they're all almost interesting. There's two legitimately interesting Boros commanders.
Finally.
You're right.
I mean, that's nuts. There's the Redwood Artifact Commander. There's an Ape Commander. There's a Knight Commander who makes knights and cares about knights. They've checked a bunch of boxes, and they did it in a really... I mean, they're all good.
Yeah. Can we just mention the best card ever is getting reprinted in Thorn Elemental?
Llanowar Elves is getting reprinted.
Which I had heard years ago that they were never going to print another one-mana mana dork.
They said they were done with one-mana mana dorks.
Maybe we'll get our four-mana Wrath.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Man, yeah, that would be cool.
Even if it's just Day of Judgment, I don't even care.
Right.
A four-mana Wrath in Standard would be real nice right now.
I love the Legendary Sorcerer. I thought that was a great idea for a mechanic.
Yeah, I enjoy that. I also read on Twitter today that they're adding something to cards going forward where there's going to be a bar in the text box that separates rules text and flavor text so you don't get them confused, where it kind of all floods together.
Okay.
And I think there's a slightly different frame on the legends as well,
yes.
I believe.
That's what I had heard too.
But we didn't see, you can't see that because it's just notes. But yeah, I mean... We'll talk more about it as Dominaria comes out, but at least at the moment, I am super excited about this set.
I do believe Dominaria releases the end of April.
April 26th.
Yeah. Yep. So shortly, I mean, we'll be doing that review in you know, not
3 weeks,
too many
weeks or so,
yeah.
3 or 4 weeks, yeah.
So I think we've touched on it enough. But it's out there. So if you want to find it, go look for it. And if you don't, we won't probably talk about it much more between now and then.
Right.
All right. Anything else for news?
That is all I have.
That's a lot of news out there.
That is a lot of news. I've been busy just reading those spoilers.
So have I.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the death of your deck, which is kind of the sad act of packing up your deck and all its worldly possessions and selling its house and bundling it off the retirement home where you visit it on Christmas. maybe.
There's FaceTime now. I can just
right,
call.
Just call. I'm sorry you got retired. It's too bad. Hope Shuffleboard's fun. So let's start out by saying, like, give me an example of a deck that you've basically given up on that's been mothballed, and why did you do it? So I'll start with Chris.
Brimaz, King of Oreskos, was one that I gave up on due to the fact of when I built it a few years ago, as mono white, it was just too weak to contend with any of the other decks I was playing against.
So part of it's just the mono white problem.
Yep.
In general. Okay. Yep. How about you, Max?
Sirok the Dragonclaw. It was
I forgot you had built that deck. That wasn't even that long ago.
That wasn't my example until about 30 seconds ago. It was Beast Tribal, so all of our listeners have heard the Protean Hulk story.
Yeah.
It was my first real attempt at a three-color deck, and I failed miserably. I like the commander, but it seems like there's not a good build path for him yet, and maybe I'll return to him one day.
There wasn't a lot of synergy in beasts back and forth either.
No.
Yeah.
They all cost too much.
Mine would be Mimeoplasm. I had a plus one counter for Mimeoplasm deck. And it was fun to play. I liked the deck. It was interactive. It did a lot of things. It won games. But then something happened. Atraxa happened, basically.
Right?
Uh-oh.
And like half the cards in the deck were in the Atraxa precon. And the other half were ones I probably wanted to take out of the Atraxa precon and put in the Mimeoplasm deck. So at that point, I was basically running a worse version of Atraxa, which number one feels bad. And number two, then everyone's running Atraxa, or there was at least a bunch of Atraxa decks that were doing plus one counters. So not only was I running a worse version, I was running a deck that people had as well. So just like it quit being fun for me. It wasn't like there was anything else wrong with it. I just didn't want to play the same deck other people had or a worse version of it. So it sat there for like 3 or 4 months where I just didn't want to play it. And finally I'm like, well, this is just not going to change. I just don't have any interest in playing it anymore. So I took it apart.
Yeah, that's what I would do too. Atraxa is just way better in general.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Pleasant was fine for that. You know, he's probably better for doing like graveyard shenanigan stuff, but he worked good for that.
Yep.
Atraxa would have worked so much better. Okay, so is this the kind of thing when you kill a deck, is it a slow roll process where you realize week after week it's just not working, or is there a situation where, or is it different every time? Are you sitting there one night and you're just like, I just don't like this deck and I'm done with it?
Mine kind of goes as a process of I forget about it. And it sits in my bag and sits in my bag. Yep. And then I play it one more time like a month later. I'm like, yeah, this deck sucks. And it gets shelved.
How about you, Max?
It depends on the deck. There'll be that deck I build and I'll play it and I play it and I play it and it just doesn't work. And I end up at that point of, yep, this is done. I bring it home and it sits on a shelf and I take the lands out because I'll probably use those before anything else in the deck. But then there's that process of, okay, I play it this week and then I don't play it the next couple weeks just because I'd rather play Dromoka.
Sure.
Or something. And then I forget about it and then I come back to it and then, yep, this deck still sucks.
Or the one I've noticed too where I like it's that those things happen and then an expansion comes out and I realize I didn't take any cards from the expansion and put in the deck. I didn't even really look. Or when I was going over the new cards, like, okay, this would be good in this deck. I never even thought of that deck. And next thing I know, I'm like two or three expansions deep. I'm like, I haven't updated this deck since, you know, Khans of Tarkir. That definitely means I'm not interested in playing it anymore. So I've had that happen too, where I just realized I've just forgot about it and it's been mothballed and it's time to take it apart.
Yep.
So, okay, when we get to that point, because we've talked about like salvaging a deck or evolving decks before, do you try to, if you notice it isn't working, do you try to salvage it usually?
To a point. Certain decks, yes. Other decks, it's just the theme of the deck that I was trying to go for is just not working.
Oh, for sure. So like you've built, well, give me an example of that.
We'll go back with Brimaz. I did it as a mono white token deck.
Okay.
And it just, you know, weenie tokens. It just wasn't strong enough to compete.
And that would have been before Anointed Procession.
Yep, before all that, which is out now, which I probably should go back to that deck and take a look. But I mean, at that point, it just wasn't competitive enough to even stay on its feet with other decks.
Well, you were probably also at a point in time playing too where maybe you weren't far enough along. Because that was years ago. That was like 2 or 3 years ago probably.
Yep.
Maybe you weren't far enough along as an EDH player where you wanted that challenge of playing mono white, whereas maybe today...
I'd probably jump all over it again.
It might be like a challenge to play mono white against some people, whereas then wasn't that. How about you, Max?
It's twofold. If it's a commander I like, I really try to overhaul it. So I did that with my Tajik Blade of the Legion deck.
And you tried a couple different versions of Tajik.
Chris is shaking his head at me because I stabbed him in the back one time with that deck.
I'm glad that deck's gone.
That was a commander I I loved. I loved the battalion. I loved he was indestructible.
He's a cool card.
And he went through three different iterations. I did Boros tokens, so I could trigger battalion super easily. I did indestructible theme, so every creature had indestructible. So I played all the dark steel stuff.
Oh, sure.
And then the final iteration was just Voltron, because that was right after Tuck went away.
Okay.
And in the end, it's Boros, and...
It just didn't have, and that was also...
that's just the solution for right. it all. Yeah. It's Boros.
But that was also kind of the same deal as back in Vermaz, too. Like, maybe then you probably also weren't as interested in the challenge of
right.
building a Boros deck.
And I think around that time is when Dromoka finally came out.
Yeah, probably.
And I just turned hard left into that one, and now Dromoka's been around for 3 years and isn't going anywhere.
Well, I heard Chris say that that deck, you don't miss that Tajik deck. It wasn't that it was a bad deck or anything. It was really tough to beat.
It was.
But it also had a tough time winning.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, you were never the first person out of games.
Nope. You had to slow play that game and just wait for your time to strike. And when you did, you struck hard.
And in some ways, that's the worst, because that makes it, well, that's probably why you've tried to fix it three times. Because you're like, it's good enough that I kind of want to, I think I can make it work.
Yep.
But you never quite get there.
No early game presence at all. Some mid game presence, but it was really a, if you can somehow survive everybody else, you have the game in the bag. Yep.
I tried Archangel Boros again. That's noticing a trend here. And I tried a couple different versions of that one. I built her originally with a bunch of like bad creatures that all self-sacked. So like sacrifice this, you know, this 1/2 for 2 mana to destroy target artifact or enchantment. So like all my removal was, there's a bunch of those in red and white throughout the years. And yep. I had a dozen different variants on those creatures, none of which I can even name right now. With the plan that, okay, I'll sacrifice them at a convenient time to flip Avacyn and deal damage to other stuff while taking out artifacts and enchantments, whatever. And it didn't, I mean, I think I won a game with it at one point, but it
definitely wasn't a deck when you sat down with that I was worried about playing against.
No, not at all.
It was just interesting to see all the interactions that it could do.
And it was kind of fun to play it a little bit, but at some point, when it's just that much of an uphill struggle to get anything accomplished at all, that's also not fun.
Yep.
Right.
So then I tried to switch it, and I tried to run like more board wipes and more Earthquake-type effects so I could wipe the board and then flash in Avacyn unflipped to save my creatures, and then flicker her back, you know, to indestructible, yep. and do things like that. And again, that was just like I needed so many flicker cards to get anything done to flicker her, and to make there's so few creatures that were worth making indestructible. And then you also then at that point, if I'm not using self-sack stuff, I need a bunch of sack Elwits to be able to sack things to be able to trigger the flip. There was just so many pieces that you needed to have. It needed to be like a 140 card deck to get everything in there.
Yep.
So that didn't work either. So I tried that one, and I just couldn't. And actually tonight, as I was leaving, I ran home after work. I left work a little bit early because we might play some after this if we've got time. I went and got a few of my decks down in my home office, and I walked past the table, and my Avacyn deck is still sitting there. I took it out of the deck box, and I'm taking some cards out of it.
3 inches of dust on it.
Yeah, right, yeah. She's still on top, and the cards are all there, because I do want to build a Boros deck at some point, so I've kept most of it together. But it's been untouched for 6 or 8 months now.
Yeah.
So, now we've talked about decks that didn't survive the Purge. Have you guys ever brought some back that you thought were done, that have sat there forever, and for some reason you've gotten back to it and managed to make it work?
Yep. I'm going to do this as the Michael Jordan reference. Right. Came out of retirement.
Yeah, for sure.
With my Slivers deck, actually, just this last year. Or was it 2 years ago now? I don't remember. I brought it back as a strictly combo deck, because there was a few combo decks running around the shop, and I was like, okay, I'm going to sit down with these people. I want a deck that's going to compete with that. And
that was going to be your bloody deck. That was the one where, like, when the game was serious, you wanted to play that.
The bloodlust is just...
Because, yeah, that was the first deck you had when we started playing together.
Yep. Yes, it was.
And then we didn't see it for a while.
Yep, because I got hated out, so she just kind of sure. got benched for a while. She went to baseball. That's where she went.
Also, one of the problems with Slivers is, unless there's a set with Slivers, this isn't like a Hydra situation where you get a Hydra twice a year.
Yep.
You get like 20 Slivers.
Every 10 years.
Every 10 years, and that's it.
Now, unless Morrow is like choking my chain or something like that, I might get more Slivers. So you might see that deck make another resurgence again in the near future.
It looks like there are none in... Oh, he said there are none in Dominaria.
Right.
In the set. But he didn't say anything about the core set coming up. So we might get some there. There's always Commander products. Who knows?
Yeah.
How about you, Max? Anything that you've...
I have not brought a deck out of retirement. Usually when I bury it 20 feet deep and I don't bring it back.
The one that I've done it with is my Talran deck.
Oh, I played that deck the other night.
How did you like playing it?
I love playing it. It just, with the people that I was playing against, it seemed hard to do anything.
That wasn't particularly a great matchup either for that deck.
But I mean, I had like, 15 Drakes on the field, but I just couldn't do anything with them.
Because there was flyers out, and there was stuff that was you had to keep blockers back for.
There was a Glissa suited up with her machine guns.
That's always fun. I had built it initially. I can't remember I didn't put a ton of counter spells in it, but I built it as a bit of a control deck. And then as I was playing it, I kept tweaking it, and I'm like, oh, I'll add a treachery or a bribery or something because I can steal something and make a Drake. Why not? That's great. And at some point, I had too many of those things in there, and I was like searching through libraries for whatever. I did get to steal Max's
Blightsteel, I think.
No, why is the name escaping me? A Prophet of Kruphix. In some game, you had I don't know what deck you had a Prophet in, but I took a Prophet from you.
Way back in the day.
That was amazing. That when it was legal.
I was gonna say for everyone listening, that card is totally banned. So.
Yes, absolutely. This is pre-banning, but like that absolutely was cheating, having a Prophet of Kruphix. But the deck made it unfun. And I'm like searching too many libraries, and I'm stealing stuff, and that draws also a lot of hate when you're taking other people's stuff. So at some point, I just found myself not playing the deck, and it got set aside and got mothballed, and I was done with it. I thought I had taken a few cards out of it, quite a few cards out of it, and forgot about it mostly up until the Ixalan spoilers came out. And Chart a Course was one of the ones that was revealed. I'm like,
awesome,
that'd be perfect in Talrand. And I'm like, maybe I should. Well, the deck's still together. Let me take a look at it. So I went through and I yanked all those bribery effects out, all that kind of stuff. I'm like, okay, I want to put Chart a Course in here. So I went back through. I went through Gatherer, and I'm like, what Chart a Course like cards are out there? And there's quite a few old ones, like Latinam's Legacy is one where you draw two and then shuffle a permanent from your hand into your, or a card from your hand into your library. And there's a few things like that. So I'm like, why don't I just run as many cantrips as humanly possible? So I just jam the deck full of cantrips. And it's been a lot of fun to play since then.
Yep.
So just kind of by remembering why I built it in the first place and kind of reverting a lot of the changes I had made to try to make it, quote unquote, better, it got fun again.
I actually have one more deck that's actually in retirement right now.
Which one?
Who's going to make another Michael Jordan comeback. It's my Mogus deck. And this deck disappears for a long period of time.
Yeah, I haven't seen Mogus in quite a while.
I bring it out when people start playing unfair games because I put them on a clock and make the game fair.
Or if it's like 11:30 and you're like, I don't want to be here at 12:30 making bad decisions.
Right.
I don't want to go home. Let's get this deck game over with. Yeah, I haven't seen it for a while.
Yeah, I usually only bring it out when people are... You know, when decks become stale and people are doing degenerate things, I'm like, okay, well, let's bring this out, and I'll just keep the board clean and keep pinging everybody, and you got to figure something out.
Now, why did you stop playing it?
You get hated out of games
for it. I do get hated out of games pretty hard for it, but it just became a boring deck to play at times.
That is.
So I put it up on the shelf.
That's usually my number one reason for retiring a deck.
When
a
deck becomes
because
boring.
It's boring. Like, I had a Marin Clan of Nel'Toth deck when it first came out, loved it, but it played the same way every game, no matter what I did. I could tutor for a different card than normal, but it ended up playing the same way and just dragging the game out because I would lock the board down with Grave Pact effects, and it became unfun for me to play and unfun for people to play against.
But you couldn't quite win at the same time. At least you couldn't win quickly either.
Right. It was not a fast deck. It was a dirtly deck, which isn't really my play style, contrary to the decks I currently play, but it was a boring deck, and that is usually why I tear my decks apart. It's just because it's no longer fun for me to play.
Yep.
Well, how about some other ones that we've taken apart? We got one example at the beginning, but are there any other ones worth talking about that you think make a good little object lesson for anybody who's listening?
I guess my pet deck right now. I know Alesha's in pieces right now because I'm trying to redo her. I'm doing a big overhaul on her.
Now, what are you doing different with it this time?
I'm going to stick to the token theme, but I think I'm going to put in some a little bit other bigger creatures that have anthem effects to them or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But can't be reanimated with her. But I need something that's got a little bit more oomph to it if I lack it later in the game.
Sure. Like to go over the top to get through.
Yeah, because I almost need to make a swarm to do something. But later in the game, if I'm locked out, I just can't recover.
Sure. That was a, I see. I liked that Alesha deck a lot. That was a fun deck.
Yep.
Yeah, I always enjoyed playing it, playing against it.
Yeah.
I always had luck playing it too. Like whenever I piloted that deck, it just worked for me.
I just like, you know, turn three at the fastest where I can one shot somebody.
Master Cruelties.
Oh, it's so much fun.
One of the things I liked a lot of that Alesha deck is when that was first spoiled, because there was this whole cycle of those that had they were essentially one color with two different colors of the activation cost, making them essentially three color commanders. And I thought all of them weren't particularly good. And I don't think they really are. But Alesha actually is. She's the exception. She's definitely the best of the bunch, I think. And I remember you said you were making an Alesha deck, and I was like, oh, okay, well, that's not going to be a thing. I just didn't think it was going to be a good deck at all. Because I don't know why. I just didn't, like, think through the...
You saw Boros. That's what it was.
Kind of. But no, I thought okay, well, so you can reanimate small creatures. Who cares?
Yep.
But I wasn't thinking in terms of, well, you can reanimate small creatures... Because there's a lot of small creatures that make a token.
Yep.
And if you're making tokens with that creature, then sacking it and reanimating it and doing that multiple times, you can make a whole army of tokens. I just thought it was a really clever way to make a deck from a card that I had initially completely dismissed.
Yeah,
so I've always liked that about it.
I would like to see those other ones actually make a surge forward. Because, I mean, the option of playing two colors on that one general instead of the three.
That is really cool.
You know, you could go either way that you want with it.
That adds a lot of flexibility for sure. So, I'm trying to think, because Max has played, I'm trying to think what other decks I can think of you having played you've taken apart.
I had an Odric Lunarch Marshall deck.
I like the Odric deck, too. I like
I
that
did,
deck.
Too.
It mono white.
It absolutely ran out of gas, for sure.
And all the creatures with fun abilities are all little 1/1s or 2/2s. And
or like 9 power or 9 CMC.
Right, or right. They're giant.
Yeah. So it's hard to... balance your play style out when you have all these little weenies or these giant monsters that you'll never cast because you'll never get to 9 mana.
And the problem with white with weenies too is like, because you open strong, and that deck did always open strong.
Yes.
That first board wipe was really tough to recover from.
Yep.
Yeah, and with that type of deck, you almost have to overextend to get the damage through, and then you're just...
Because when you see that opening in the beginning, like, oh, one more turn, I can take out two people, maybe.
Yep.
And then that board wipe comes on, you're like, and I'm done. I've got two cards left in my hand, and I don't know if I've got any way to draw back up to 6, whereas, you know, next person's like, the person who board wiped drops a 7 drop and then plays a Harmonize and then plays a Rishkar's Expertise, and they're up to 14 cards in hand or something. I'm like, man, you just can't do that in white. You're just never going to be able to do that. I've had quite a few that I've taken apart.
The King of Fling.
That was a fun deck to play against.
Bryon Stoutarm, who was just reprinted in...
25.
In 25. Yep. The giant that you can sacrifice a creature to deal damage equal to its power to target creature or player.
And he has lifelink.
So you then gain life off that. Fight a lot of like the red temporary steel effects and take the biggest creature... deal damage, then destroy the creature, essentially, too. So it does double duty.
One of the only decks I was perfectly fine with an Insurrection being in, because it had a theory behind it. It wasn't just a I win card. It was a, this is what my deck does anyways.
I'm taking as much stuff as I can to throw back at you. That was a fun deck. There was enough games, though, I hit the point where I'm like, there's nothing I can steal, or nothing worth stealing. And if I couldn't steal something, I had no way to win. If I couldn't steal big creatures for the most part.
Now, was that about the time when everyone started playing Lightning Greaves and Swiftfoot Boots?
There was a lot of Greaves or Privileged Positions or Asceticisms.
Right about when our meta evolved is when I saw that deck kind of disappear.
People got much smarter about protecting their own creatures. And even though Red and White has removal, it was a lot of work in that particular deck. But it was a fun deck. And I do want to build a Boros deck again. I'm eyeballing both the new Boros commanders out of Dominaria to try one of the two of them. So I do want to try another Boros deck. But that one had some problems, so I mothballed it. I'm trying to think what else. I tried that. I built that Sidisi.
I was actually just going to ask.
Did you build that?
I haven't
seen it yet.
I played it one night. I played it with one of those decks. I played it with Mike and Steve. I played like 3 games with it. And I did not like any of those 3 games.
Okay.
I was actually going to ask, do you guys ever retire a deck before ever bringing it to the shop?
That was the closest I have came.
I had to retire one deck that was by far my most favorite deck in the world because my commander got banned.
Leovold.
Leovold.
That's when Leovold got banned. It was probably my most favorite deck I had ever built and played.
And you didn't even have that, like, that brutal, you weren't running, like, all the wheels or anything in there.
I mean, no, I think I had two wheels in there. But it was just pretty much just the value of Leovold going, oh, you target me? Cool, draw a card.
Right. Yeah, Leovold was pretty strong. Yeah, I'm trying to think what else. There's just, I mean, over the years, I've taken apart 10 different decks, and I can't even think of all of them.
Same here.
Well, you recently did a couple different zombie versions. You did a Gisendrolf.
Yep.
That turned into Scarab. Was it Gisendrolf originally?
It was Gisendrolf originally, and then that evolved into the Scarab God because it was just a switch, and it just wasn't my playstyle. I don't know what it was. It was, the graveyard was pretty fragile. I didn't know how to protect it, so I just scrapped the deck.
It's hard in those colors to protect a graveyard, though.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the problem I had with Sidisi was, and it was probably partially how I built it, too. There was, I needed the graveyard so much that the amount of cards I had to have in my deck to interact with the graveyard was, number one, annoying because it forced me to not run a bunch of other things. And then number two, to have to then protect that graveyard and know that, like, because I was so invested in using my own graveyard, as soon as somebody hit it, I was just screwed. That was the end of it. So it was just too many plates spinning at once. And I could tell after three games, I'm like, this is just not going to be my kind of deck that I want to play. Okay, so how about suggestions for people out there who have a deck that they're thinking about retiring or thinking about taking apart? Any advice for them for maybe how to salvage it? Or advice for them maybe like this is how you know it's time to let it go?
I guess the best thing, like, if you're going to let it go, is what we've suggested a few times already, is if you don't like it and you don't want to play it anymore, get rid of it.
Why are you playing if it's not fun?
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, like, ask your friends. I mean, maybe the way you built the deck just isn't what's working. You like the general, but the way you built it just isn't working. Maybe they have a different view on it and can help you out.
Yep.
There are plenty of times when, like, it's close, you're like, but you can see that maybe there's something there. Sometimes you can tell there isn't, and it's just never going to work for you. But, like, sometimes you're like, maybe.
That's where I'm stuck at with the recce deck that I'm building. I'm like, it's close, but I'm two planeswalkers shy, and how am I going to make this work, and all that fun stuff.
One thing, if the deck isn't working, one thing that I've done in the past, too, is that, okay, well, I've got this, say, Sultai Shell together, for example, all the lands, for the most part, aren't going to change no matter what commander you play. Maybe at that point in time, you're like, this isn't working. This Sidisi deck isn't working. Go look at the other commanders in those colors. At that point, it's probably going to overhaul the rest of the deck aside from the land base. But if your land base is together and sleeved up, maybe try to salvage at least that portion of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work, but, like, I mean, obviously it didn't work going from Gisendrolf to Scarab God.
Right.
But, like, sometimes that does.
Yeah.
I'm playing a Veil of the Nightclad deck right now that I've really liked. And that was originally a Silumgar the Drifting Death deck.
I liked that deck.
I forgot about that deck.
Nothing in that deck is the same but the lands, but I had the land base together, so when I took most of the deck apart, I actually left, like, the 36 or 37 lands together in the deck box. I'm like, at some point I'm going to build a Dimir deck again, so I left them all in there.
Makes sense.
The Silumgar deck I was thinking about the other day, I'm like, that almost worked. And that was another card, talking about if a card can salvage a deck. I had a bunch of, like, small flyers in the deck. If anyone doesn't know what Silumgar Drifting Death does, whenever a dragon you control attacks, creatures that player controls get -1/-1.
Creatures defending player controls get -1/-1 for each dragon attacking.
For each dragon. And Silumgar himself, herself, I believe, has hexproof on top of that.
Yep.
So she's tough to deal with. And
it's a 3/7.
Yeah, right. Big butt.
So she's tough to kill. She's giving, and she herself, you're immediately giving creatures -1/-1, so you're killing tokens. The problem is there's not a lot of good blue or black dragons. So I was running a bunch of, like, weenie flyers, basically, and the cards that let you turn your creatures into dragons. So there's Conspiracy, there's Xenograft. And now we just got, Arcane Adaptation?
Yep.
In Ixalan?
Yep.
And there's one more old one that has an activated ability that's name I can't remember, where you pay one and a creature can become whatever creature you want to end a turn. So I had those three, and this was before Arcane Adaptation. And when I was playing the deck, I remember thinking, I need one more. I need one more of these. And if I had one more, I would have enough in this deck where I can consistently have one out.
Yep.
Or one in hand when one gets destroyed to play another one and go back to doing it again. I took it apart and built that Vela deck eventually, and then Ixalan got spoiled and Arcane Adaptation was in there, and I'm like, man, if I had that deck, that would be the last one. That would be the one I needed to probably go over the top.
That's the linchpin.
I think use online resources anyway to talk about other suggestions. If your deck is having problems, Reddit of all places. I mean, there's a lot of good Magic groups on Reddit. If you just make a Reddit post or just look through Reddit posts or search for your commander name.
No.
Don't make a Reddit. If you're not familiar with Reddit, don't make your first Reddit post like that. I would advise against that. But you can at least search it and maybe get some reasonable ideas. Not everyone on Reddit is an idiot. Most people on Reddit.
No comment.
Now I'm going to get just hammered by people on Reddit.
We don't post there. It's okay.
I'm just going to stay quiet and plead the fifth so they don't come after me.
Search EDH Rec.
Yeah.
Yes, that one I'll get behind 100%.
You might find a whole bunch of cards that you didn't know even existed on there for your commander that might change how the deck gets played.
But whatever you do, this is just a personal suggestion. Don't fall down that rabbit hole of doing all your building with the online resources. Make it your own deck.
I agree with that completely.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, you don't just like, this deck isn't working, so I'm just going to copy Jim Bob's deck off of wherever. Because you're not going to, I mean, maybe you will like it. I wouldn't like it, at least. It wouldn't feel right to me to just take that and, but I don't know, maybe some people don't care about that.
I'll get to changing it.
One suggestion I would have is if you could become a Patreon supporter of your favorite podcast, maybe at the $10 level, they would take your deck onto the show and have some suggestions for how to fix it. I think that would also probably be useful for some of our listeners.
That is a great idea.
I'm just spitballing here, throwing out ideas, seeing what sticks.
Woohoo!
Shameless plug.
It's the best kind of plug.
No, we love all our listeners. Yeah. So.
We will help you out. You know what? If you really have deck suggestions, and even if you're not a Patreon supporter, throw us a question about your deck on social media. Yeah, we will absolutely try to take a look at
it. The questions that I really enjoy is when someone puts up and says, hey, I have like these three cards that do this. Is there anything that could do it better? This is what I want to do with these three cards type of deal.
I'm going to talk a little bit on our next show because I played a friend's Scarab God deck last weekend. In our next show, I'll talk about it for a few minutes. That was a lot of fun, and I had some suggestions for him, and I'll just spend a few minutes talking about that, some changes I made there to kind of illustrate that as well, but we won't do that today.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Anyone have anything else they want to go into here about the death of a deck?
No. Give it a proper burial. You know,
flush
say
it,
a few words.
Like goldfish.
Yep.
Right down the drain.
Don't do what I do sometimes, get real mad and throw it across the room of the shop into the garbage can.
Have you really thrown a deck across the room? What did you throw?
I threw, what was it? Draft, I think? Draft or sealed. I don't remember what it was, but like I was doing so good and then I just lost and it just went flying over my shoulder. I was like, no, we're done.
I'm done. I'm out of here.
And then I got a nice talking to about how the shop is a do as I say, not as I do shop.
I was not around for that. I missed that.
No. It used to happen quite a few times. Like our last two-headed giant tournament, our team name was the Deck Flinging Syndrome.
I like that. DFS for short.
Speaking of tournaments.
Yes.
We got to bring this up.
Oh, yeah.
There is a two-headed giant 1v1 tournament at our local shop, D20 Gaming in Eau Claire, next weekend. So the Saturday
March 17th.
After this airs. Chris will be playing in it, and I will be doing commentary on the local streamer's channel for the tournament.
His Twitch channel.
On Twitch, then it's also then posted on YouTube afterwards, I think.
I believe so, and we'll have all those links in the show notes
of this episode.
Links in the
show notes for sure for you guys. Listen to Max, comment on a game, and watch Chris play.
Yep.
Or come and play in the tournament.
If you're local, come play in the tournament for sure.
Yeah, if I wash out, don't be surprised if you have a... surprise guest like LSV does during the pro tour and just show up and be like, what's up, guys?
Wander over to the table and start throwing some commentary out there. All right. Well, I think that's it for tonight then. Until next week, I'm Dana.
I'm Max.
And I'm Chris.